Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and the Grow Group. Thanks for downloading the Grow Show powered by Steel. Today, we've got Grow Group Vice President and my partner, fellow University of Dayton grad, Vince Torchia in the house. We're going to talk all about business growth. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of the Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since Boss Snow Equipment. Man, have we put their plows, pusher boxes, and V-boxes to the test here recently at Grunder Landscaping Company. Major snowfall here in Dayton and Cincinnati, and they have performed magnificently. Great products, and a personal shout out to Jordan Smith, a recent guest here on The Grow Show, powered by Steel, for his help in our growing snow efforts at Grunder Landscaping Company. We are learning and growing. Love it. That's fun. Speaking of fun, it's Vince Torchia in the house. And Vince, I'm glad you're patient with me because for the second time in 90 plus episodes, I got into a good discussion and forgot to hit record.
I can't keep a straight face. Marty and I just recorded 22 minutes of a podcast.
And it was great stuff. Yeah, right. And I interrupted Vince, and Vince is like, what are you doing? I said, you're not going to believe this. Yeah. I never, you know, I've turned 56 and everything's gone to heck. So
yeah, I'll keep this in my file for us to review later.
But yeah, no, well, at least they know we're honest that we didn't hit record. Vince, let's jump into this. As you know, we have four pillars of success that we find every landscaping company, every company for that matter, focuses on: platform, people, process, and profits. You are the architect behind this philosophy. Why don't you give us a brief introduction to platform, people, process, and profits? And then I thought we'd focus our discussion today on this and what you've learned. Because at Grow coming up in Columbus, February 24th, 25th, 26th, Hidden Creek Landscaping's our host. Great thing. It's all based on the four P's. Talk to us.
Yeah, Marty. So we were like other companies trying to figure out, we have all this content, whether it's the Grow Show or the Great Idea or a Grow event or things within peer groups. And we had to find a way to organize it. So we chose our four P's, as you said. So platform, people, process, profit. Platform, Marty, is really what kind of foundation of a company are we? What's our vision? What's our values? Where are we going? What's our mission? Who do we serve? Who do we not serve? All those kind of core beliefs of a company that you have to have. Otherwise, you're probably not going to get where you want to go if you're not clear about your platform. Then your people, succinctly said, your team, right? The number one leverage point that you have as an organization, as we often say, people can copy your software, your trucks, or your equipment, or your website, or all those things. They can't copy how you treat and grow your people. So again, a great leverage point for organizations. Process is how you get work done, whether it's software or checklists or workflows or any of the sort. Process allows you to get work done. The tighter and better that you run process, the more scalable and better run your company will be. And Marty, if you have a great platform, if you treat your people right, if you use process as well, at the end of the day, you should have profits, right? The financial benchmark that really at the end of the day shows the success of a company. And we teach from finance as well. So we use those four P's to organize our content, whether it's the Grow agenda that we have coming up, the Grow Show, great ideas, everything else. We fit in those four buckets to make sure that we've got our bases covered.
Yeah. It's been great. I mean, you and I at some point need to write a book on this because it's been a great foundation for what we're doing. So platform is the start, your vision, your ideal state where you aspire to be, mission, what you're going to do on a daily basis to achieve that vision, and then core values, the beliefs and the behaviors that must be present in the organization. What are the best companies that you're working with in our ACE peer groups and in the other groups that you work with? What are the best companies doing in the area of platform, Vince?
Number one, Marty, they're not shy about constantly reminding their team about what's important, right? So we take on this idea, right? Patrick Lencioni talks about it, this chief reminding officer. That's part of your job as a leader in an organization, to constantly remind people about where we're going, how we're going to get there. And as you said, the beliefs and the behaviors we're going to exhibit on this journey together. So companies are, they're not shy about it. They commit it to writing. They talk about it in meetings. There's set times on a monthly basis where we're going to check in and see how we're doing on our quest towards this vision, mission, and our values towards it. But long story short, Marty, it's not words on a page. It's not words on a banner. they bring it into the organization. And so, again, it's one of those things that if you don't know where you're going or have never charted out that course, any old road will not get you there, right? And so organizations that are intentional and focus on reminding their team and probably sharing a little more than they're comfortable sharing about why we're going to go there and how we're going to do it, those are the ones that win.
So the clearer you paint the picture, the better people understand where you're going. And I think it's just, that's how engagement takes place. I understand more, not just where we're going, but why we're doing that and how my daily efforts can contribute to a win. I think clarity of purpose, Vince, like you said, it's just so powerful in any business. Who's doing that well in our stable of clients?
It's easy for me, Marty, to point out Hidden Creek. We've spent so much time with them the last year getting ready for Grow. Jason's been in a peer group with us since 2021. Hidden Creek is very clear about who they are as a company. From the minute you get to their facility, from the minute you talk to their team or you see their work, very clear what they do, very clear what they don't do, right? And they don't make apologies.
Which Vince, that is a great point. Very clear about what they don't do. Right. And I think you should expand upon that when you go through this, because that's brilliant what you just said there.
Yeah, because Marty, otherwise you get caught in this idea of our team constantly wondering like, well, we have all this landscaping equipment. Like, can we do this job that someone asked us to do? It's like, well, if it's not a high-end residential commercial property that will appreciate what we're doing at Hidden Creek, like they're not a fit for us. So again, Marty, we joke that if you go into Chipotle and you order a hamburger, that's not what they do. And so it's up to us as leaders to make it that clear in our organization. This is what we do. We don't do the other things. We're going to tell you that in a nice professional way. But yeah, Marty, Hidden Creek, they've got this intentionality behind their company, behind their brand, behind their vision and values and how they work together that it just creates no opportunity for people to not know what they do. And that allows their team to be really effective.
There's going to be a picture in at this point, if you're watching us on YouTube, it's of Jason and I in front of their wall. And it talks about their core values and what they're doing. And I think when people go to Grow, if they were to see that wall first and read it and then go through the tour and see the rest of it, they're going to be like, that really is them. Or if they read the wall after they go on the tour and meet all Jason's people. In other words, there's not a big gap between who they say they are and who they really are. Like, you can see it.
Right on.
That is them. So let's move on to people, your team. What are the best companies doing in the area of people?
I think number one, Marty, a great thing that I've seen as a trend in the industry is companies are a lot more comfortable now talking about career paths for team members. I think 5 or 10 years ago, it wasn't so common for people to have this laid out where you can come in as an entry-level team member or salesperson or office team member and grow through the organization. It just wasn't so clear. So companies are doing that and showing people this is a career. Anything you want to accomplish, you can accomplish in landscaping. And Marty, even coupled with that, companies are much better now, I think, at showing examples inside their own company of people that have done this. At Grunder, we have many people that started out, Marty, as a team member who are now a manager. Seth started out as a salesperson, moved over to ops, back into management. Like, we've had people move a lot
in the organization. He's running the whole organization.
Right. Yeah. And so that's great for us to be able to bring somebody in and say, hey, you're starting right here. This is the same place Dalton started. This is the same place Seth started, right? Or other people in the organization so that they can grow and grow and grow. And so I think that, Marty, number one, career pathing and showing people options has been a great trend for companies. Again, don't overthink it. If you're listening to this and you don't have those perfectly laid out, look first to your team members. Think about where your key team members started in the organization, how they moved through there, maybe how their pay changed as that happened. Document that and start just sharing that with your team.
Yeah.
And then, Marty, number two would just be that companies have gotten the confidence lately to specialize their team members. And I think that's been great that they've gone away from this is Vince, a salesperson. He sells everything. He sells fertilizer and landscape and recurring services and snow and mosquito and every other treatment that we have, to Vince just sells recurring services. Marty sells landscape. Bill's a designer, right? They've gotten the confidence to specialize their team, which makes the process easier to run. But those are two things I've seen that happen that I think have been really good changes lately.
I see that in our own organization. I see that in the companies that we're working with. We have some companies in our ACE groups, Vince, men and women that are in their 30s, you know, your age, doing amazing things with their businesses. with the people, and they're delegating, they're handing the ball off, they're empowering their people to do other things. What are the challenges you're seeing with companies? Is hiring still a major problem out there? What are you seeing in the peer groups?
Yeah, hiring's still a challenge. I think people are growing their companies, which is great, but they're not maybe reloading as fast as they would be hoping. And so they're putting some people on some stretch assignments. People are wearing multiple hats. Some people feel like, man, we've grown a lot. Maybe our team hasn't grown at the same level or the same rate. That happens. So that's a challenge, like any company that's growing. I do think the labor market now, Marty, is better than it was a year ago and better a year ago than it was 2 years ago. I think things are just kind of in better positions for us. People have kind of rebounded and they're looking for other opportunities. But yeah, I think generally labor is still a challenge and companies know that it's their biggest opportunity. And the positive about it is they're spending time, energy, effort, and money on focusing on it. So they're not just hoping the right people walk in the door. They're not just saying, man, I got to go find team leaders. They're making team leaders. They're making people grow in their organization, which again has been a benefit.
We have had numerous discussions in our ACE groups about someone will say, man, you got to help me find team leaders. And, you know, Vince and I, you and I know, we know that here at Grunder, you're not going to, it's going to be very hard to find a team leader. You're going to have to create them. So to your point, there has to be some kind of a mentoring program, a training program. Training is an investment. It's not an expense. Looking through it, the hiring process and all those things. Full disclosure, Vince is also an attorney, graduate of the Syracuse College of Law. Vince, what are we seeing there on the legal side? Is there anything you want to share with us about people in that perspective?
I think, Marty, obviously there's been a lot of stuff going on with the Department of Labor lately with non-competes and with this overtime exemption rules. They keep getting put in and they keep getting rejected or a court will reject it. And so they're constantly always in flux. But I'm telling everybody now, Marty, as far as non-competes go, those are getting phased out either way. Yeah. The more modern, best approach, how we handle it at Grunder, is two things, a confidentiality policy for team members and a non-solicitation. Right. All that means is, hey, what you learn here, what you gather here, that stays here, whether you leave or you stay. We're not going to stop you from working, but the things that you learned here need to stay here. And you can't call on our clients and you can't call on our people.
Right.
Again, we're not going to stop you from working.
And, we're not giving legal advice. I'm surprised you haven't said that yet.
Yeah.
So what we're telling you is, you know, get with your attorney and look at a non-solicitation agreement and have something there, but, you know, be careful about what you're doing. I think the other thing I would say to be careful about, and it's not really a legal issue, and I know because I used to do this, I'd bring somebody new in and I'd start painting all these pictures about what they could do. And the problem with that, Vince, is you're painting this picture that they're getting excited about, but they're not doing the basic job well, and they're focused on that already. And I just don't think that's smart. I think there's nothing wrong with showing them the opportunities that are in your organization, but I think you have to be careful about talking to them specifically, like you could do this. You don't know that. You got to let them see some victories and go, am I making sense? Can you help me maybe better explain what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, Marty, what you're talking about is there's a difference between getting people excited about the path that they have and then telling them they've already arrived when maybe
that's it. Right. Like there's steps you got to go through. Okay. Yeah. You just started here last week. You can't run the crew next month. Right. That's not what I said. You have to be able to do all these things. And I forget, Seth explains it so well, something to the extent of you got to be able to do your job. You got to be able to train your replacement while doing the job one above you all at the same time. And until you can do all three of those, you can't go. And if you think about it, that means if you're running the crew and you want to be at our company, a group leader, which means you oversee 5 to 7 crews, that's the next step. You got to have all your crews running. They all got to be running smoothly. Your team has to be running smoothly for you to get and have a bunch of teams running through you.
Yep.
For you. So it becomes a challenge. Is there anything else that you've learned in running the Grow Group on the people side or anything else you want to share before we move on to process?
No, I think I'd encourage everybody listening to the show that people are craving information and that I would encourage everyone at whatever level they're comfortable, maybe go one step further than what you're comfortable with right now. Share information with your team, share information with your vendors. Because Marty, people are looking for it. And if you're not giving them the information, whether it's good or bad, they are going to make up their own narrative. They're going to backfill with whatever they think is going on. It may be true, it may not be true, but it's better to give people information. If you're worried about that, that's more of a culture conversation, not a finance performance or operational performance conversation. But again, good people right? They're curious. They want to know what the score is. They want to know how they can affect it, and give them the tools to be able to do that.
I mean, the amount of information that we share with our team in our monthly grow meeting, where it's all hands on deck and all the other communication pieces, people are amazed. And even then, as we've talked about, we still struggle. Some people will say, well, I didn't know we were doing that. And Grumpy Marty once in a while is like, how could you say that? But then you just have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I just got to keep talking then. I got to figure out a way to get through to them. And you continue to share the information, because a well-informed team member is engaged. And an engaged team member is the one that you want. They're the ones that care and put their best foot forward. Great, Vince. Super. Processes, your systems. We often say here at the Grow Group, systems and processes enable ordinary people to do extraordinary things. In many ways, a 17, 18-year-old person can run a McDonald's. If you ever have a chance to watch the founder, Michael Keaton, very funny for me to be recommending movies. Vince is hard as having a tough time containing himself because right. I've watched like 3 movies in my life. Yeah. But the founder is one of them. It's a great example of processes. What are you seeing with processes? We could talk for days about this. What are you seeing with processes in companies?
Martin, the biggest thing I'm seeing with processes, people have really taken on the idea of simplifying them, which is great, because yes. I think people used to go through, hey, I'm going to have a 48-step checklist to do this. Yes. And they're realizing that you
this
as
guy,
the owner,
this guy did that.
Yeah, right. You had more than that, but you as the owner, yeah. right, that makes sense to you and why you wanted that detailed and everything needs to be right and have a right place. I think people have realized a process that is not usable is not worth having, and it's got to be effective for it to be useful. So I've seen companies do a really nice job of paring back and making it less complicated and being more focused on it being useful than detailed, for example.
And enable the team member to think a little, right?
Exactly, right.
Like they don't need to know, put key in ignition, turn ignition,
right.
put truck in drive. That's kind of what my stupid spring cleanup process looked like from 30 years ago. And you're just taking they need to know the big stuff.
Marty, there's that, is they've really gotten the idea of simplifying process. Yep. And then number two, they're just leveraging technology better, right? Whether it's a software system, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's just hooking up your email to your calendar and some of those basic things. Companies are really, again, well positioned from a technology standpoint. And again, you and I get to go all over the country. There's a lot of opportunity for people to plug into the existing systems that they have. And so I would just encourage everybody that technology is not going to always save the day for you. No. However, whatever you're doing that's repetitive or that's predictable, that's what technology is for. So again, if it's something repeatable, something predictable, great opportunity for you to leverage it with technology.
And I think one of the things I want to make sure we get across here is wrap yourself around the technology. Don't try to bend that technology and get somebody to customize something. We have seen time and time again, a well-intended landscaping company tries to develop their own software, or they buy Aspire and they say, but we're not going to use Aspire for this because the other program did that. That's a mistake, isn't it? And why?
Yeah, because you're fighting something that is programmed a certain way, right? So it's like you're not really using the system, because that system is seeing everything in a binary sense, literally. Like, so if you're fighting that system, you're never going to win, because the system is built a certain way. And so you may not agree with how the system does something, but if that's a system you're using, you have to surrender to it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're creating workarounds, which is more opportunity for error. Now you have more time invested from a labor perspective, which that's not why you bought the software. So any software you're using, you have to just surrender and say, these are the rules of the game with this software. Yeah. We've got to play by them.
Yeah, I heard somebody, was one of our strategic partners in McFarland, Stanford, said that the best software was the one that you use. And there is a lot of truth to that. Embrace the thing and quit complaining that it doesn't have optical recognition technology or something crazy, that there's just so much you can go there and you can go overboard and really get yourself caught up in something you don't need to be. All right. We've talked about platform. We talked about people. We talked about process. The natural byproduct of all those running smoothly in this philosophy that you've put together is the profits. Our most profitable ACE last year was somewhere around 18%, which that's amazing. Talk about profits, Vince, because that's what drives a business ultimately.
Yeah, Martin, I think that really across the industry, profits have been, I would say, stagnant really the last 2 years. I think people are still figuring out this post-COVID way of running a company. A lot of people added a lot of overhead because they were growing, and then their sales growth did not match their overhead growth.
Right.
And
right.
cash and profits have shrunk slightly the last 2 years based on what expectations were. Now, if you mapped your sales growth and your profit growth back to like 2016, 17, 18, 19, probably very right. similar.
Exactly.
But they're not matching to 2021, 2022, and 2023. And so I think the big thing, Marty, is people are focusing on getting back to growing revenue, right? Growing sales solves a lot of issues. You can grow your way out of most problems in landscaping. Yeah. But it's really that coupled with this idea that just because we can increase our price because of inflation, because of expectations, because of things going on demand for our services, doesn't mean that just allows us to be lazy on the cost and expense side of our business. So in a perfect world, we're doing a version of both. We're increasing prices at a regular clip that's keeping up with the market, but we're also reducing our costs and thus reducing our overhead as a percent of our revenue. So we're hitting both metrics at the same time. So people just focused on cost, I think there's diminishing returns at a certain point on that. If you're just focused on increasing your prices, you might be bringing all this money in the front door and having to go right out the back.
Yeah. And I think leverage was with the contractor in 21, 22, and 23. It was hard to find a contractor. It's a little bit easier to find one, although there's still some things. And I know, you know, you graduated, one of your degrees was in economics at the University of Dayton. There's still some things, though, Vince, from an economic perspective that don't make sense. Like the way it's been the last 100 years in the world, according to Marty, you would think it would be easier to find employees in this job market, and it's not. There's just some things that don't quite seem to add up. Am I right?
I would agree with you. I think that number one, there's a total like divorced reality from the stock market and the economy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're moving in two totally different ways.
Right.
I think still like this housing opportunity right. for some people, for young people, it's a different story, right? People are worried about buying houses. I think you're right. There's a lot of economic indicators that don't match with kind of what the business.
That's what it, I mean, and I'm not an economist at all. I'm just saying, I remember the mortgage on my house, Vince, is 2.25%. It doesn't even make sense for me to pay it off. Okay. It's stupid. You can't, mortgages now are seven yeah. and a half. So there's just things that are, they're hard to understand and hard to relate to, but look, at the end of the day, we got to worry about what we can control, and we can control the quality of the work that we do. We can control our platform and how we get everybody excited about what we're doing. And then we are mindful of what we said. We can control the people that we hire. We can control the processes, not have so many of them that we bound everybody up, but we have enough to get it slotted, to make it scalable, to enable you to open up a branch. And if we do all those well and we have a good handle on our numbers, we're bidding work. We know what work to say no to. We know what work to say yes to. We know what work we need to go look to find more of. We can find the profits. What else with regards to the four P's and what we have coming up at Grow? Why don't you touch on what we're doing there? Because everything that we're doing at Grow revolves around these four P's. What do you want everyone to know about Grow and the four P's?
Yeah, we want everyone to know, first of all, this is our 30th time doing the event, right? So we have a...
Yeah, and that in itself is just nuts.
Yeah, we have a clear understanding of what this event is supposed to be for leaders and their teams. And so we know, because we're landscapers, what we'd want to get out of an event. So
right.
that's why, Marty, we mix and match with those four P's to make sure we've got our bases covered. Whether you're an owner or a non-owner, we've got sessions covered for you there. The big highlight of the event is going to be our tour of Hidden Creek, where we're showing content and curriculum at a hotel, and then matching it with how a company is actually doing this, right?
Experiential learning.
Thank you. And again, those agendas are based on what's happening in the world, right? With our peer groups, with Grunder Landscaping Company, with Hidden Creek, within our industry, we're so into it, Marty, that we know what's on the top mind of people in the industry, and we want to give them content, and we want to give them content that they can leave with and go execute on. You and I have no interest in putting on an event and having people have a great experience, but not do anything with the things
right.
that they've learned.
We don't want to show PowerPoints and bore them to death. Quite frankly, it sounds trite, but we want to have an event that we'd want to send our own teams to. We know from the work we're doing in our peer groups where people are struggling, and we know we've got some peer group members that'll be teaching at Grow that have some things figured out. They're brilliant. all of the teachers at Grow are landscape professionals. It's an event for landscapers put on by landscapers.
Yeah, and so we're looking forward to seeing everybody, Marty, in Columbus, Ohio, 24th, 25th, 26th of February. It'll be a great experience, a great event. And again, as we've always said, it's just a great way to get your year kicked off, get your team aligned with what your business goals are, and go execute beyond that as you go back. So that's what we're looking forward to for Columbus.
Well, you and I will have a lot of anxiety. We always do here between now and February the 24th. I'm very confident this one is going to be our best one ever. Folks, we're nuts about this event. We work very hard to have a terrific learning experience. We want to make it fun. I hope you'll join us. And Vince, I want to thank you publicly for everything that you do for me, for everything you do for our team at Grunder Landscaping, our team at the Grow Group, and our over 200 members in our peer groups. You're a gem, and I'm glad everybody got to hear some of your wisdom today. Thank you.
No, thank you, Marty. Let's do this more often in 2025. This was fun.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give Marty a favor here and give it a rating or share a comment. Take your phone out right now and text the episode to someone else. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week, and we'll see you next week. And again, don't forget to check out Grow 2025, Columbus, Ohio, February 24th, 25th, 26th. We actually do expect a complete sellout for this one, folks. So go sign up now while it's fresh in your mind. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.